this out loud together, shall we? You ready? All right, let's do that. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you guys for doing that. So the Apostle Paul wrote these words to Timothy, and he calls Jesus a very specific name. He gives him a very specific title, and what is that title? King, right? He gives him the title King. You probably have noticed already as we've gone through worship that we've been throwing that name out there, right? King, the King of glory. Glory be to God, our King. We come, we celebrate, we give thanks to our King for what he has done. And I love that Paul calls Jesus a king. And the question I want to ask us, I always love to ask questions that I can answer, right? It's always better to do it that way. And so I want to ask this question. So if Paul wants to call Jesus a king, what in the world is he sort of getting at? What is in his back pocket when he's calling Jesus a king? Because what I want to do is I want to take that, and then I want to just look at Jesus, and then I'm going to bring that all together and try to answer this question, so what? Like, what does it really matter? Because that's the kind of question the world asks when we talk about, you know, this Jesus being our king. So what? I want to try to answer that question today. So let me begin with this and say, Paul calls Jesus a king. And when he calls him a king, Paul has this specific understanding that's in the back of his head that's building all of this. And part of that is understanding that because, you know, the people of his culture, they understood a king like this, that a king over the kingdom of the people is God's chosen representative to the people. And this is not just any person that has just been randomly picked off the side of the road and he thought, I'm just going to choose this person today. No, this was a person that had a royal lineage that when laid out, the people would say, okay, you know what? Yep, this person has a divine right to be in this position, to be king, and we are not to argue this. And in fact, this is God's representative. He picked this person and said, boom, here you are. You are to be our king. Well, as a king, a good king is going to rule his kingdom and conquer his enemies. Makes sense, right? And so when he does that, then he brings peace to the people. And so the king's ability to lead well results in a greater sense of peace amongst the kingdom for the people and just the culture at large there for all of them. So he brings peace to his kingdom. But the people knew that it wasn't really the king who was responsible for that. That in fact it was the God of the king in the kingdom that was responsible for that. The king did a good job, but it really wasn't his doing. It was really the God of the king. And so if you believe that, what do? Well, it makes sense that you elevate this God of the people and of the kingdom above every other God and say, our God's greater than your God. Na 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 boo boo. That was for the kids, but they're not in here. That's exactly what they do. And so the king would elevate the God in the temple. And so everyone would see and pay respect and honor that this is the greatest God of all, who is greater and stronger than all the other gods, because he has given our king victory and we have peace in our kingdom. So you know what? It made sense then that for the people, when you look at the king that way, that if you want to honor your God, you have to honor the king. Can you see this? So, therefore, if you want to pay respect to your God, then you have to pay respect to the king. You can't disrespect the king and respect the God at the same time. You can't respect God and disrespect the king. The two, they're inseparable. It has to go together because, remember, it's God's chosen representative. So if you have to honor the king, then, well, it makes sense then that what are you going to do? Like, well, you're going to pay homage to the king. You're blessings and honor, right? I mean, you bow down in reverence before the king. You might bring gifts to the king. You would do nothing to come across as a jerk to the king because you're afraid. What happens? Well, if you tick off the God of the king and the kingdom by being a jerk to the ones that is his representative, well, then he might just draw his hands and say, well, nana, nana, boo, boo on you. You figure it out for yourself. I'm going on vacation. I'll be back later. You dare not do that because if God removes his favor from the king and the kingdom, well, then guess what happens? You get attacked you're defeated. You lose your peace. So everything was hinging on this king being the one who's responsible for God's well-being on the people, on the kingdom. You know, you think about that, and you think about how they may bless and honor and get it, you know, and just really be excited that this is God's representative. Kind of makes a little sense when you think about Jesus comes in at Palm Sunday, right? And what do the people do when he's coming in on Palm Sunday? They go nuts, right? They go nuts, and they're celebrating, and woo, you know, and they're in palm branches, and they're laying cloaks on the ground in front of, you know, and they're embracing him as the king, and what do they say? Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So you kind of get this idea why it's so important that they would act this way to this person who is God's representative to them, who's going to conquer their enemies, bring them peace. You tracking with me? See where it's going, right? So this is part of the image when Paul says, now to the king, he's got this all in the back of his head because this is what they know. But there's another thing that Paul knows too. And it's not quite as popular. We haven't typically looked at it this way when we've had this idea of a shepherd. But actually, the earliest sense of a shepherd was a king. It was a leader. In ancient civilizations, the people thought of the king as a good shepherd. In fact, if you were to go back and you were to look at pictures of kings of ancient times, you know what they would have? They'd have a shepherd's staff. They're drawn with a picture of a shepherd's staff. Because see, what they believed was that this type of king, this shepherd type of king, was a king that promoted the well-being of the people. Wanted what was for the good of the people. And so when the king would teach, and when the king would pass laws, and when the king would do stuff, it was always about what was for the good of the people. So he would have mercy. Instead of being a vindictive jerk, the king would choose to have mercy. Because the king knew that mercy is what is good, that when people have mercy upon others, it makes for a better society. That'll preach today, won't it? It does. And so the king knew then that this type of culture is what is for the good of the people, present and future. So what he would then say to them is like, okay, hey, you guys are all my peeps, and so I want you to treat everybody else this way that I'm treating you as your king, because this is what is for everybody else's good. Oh, that our leaders would let this be the litmus test for how they lead. So what about Jesus, though? Some of you may be wondering, like, when's he going to get to Jesus, though, right? It's like a lot of history, but come on now. I want to talk about Jesus. Great. Let's talk about Jesus. When Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus wants to teach the people what kind of leader he is and what kind, right, of his Father's kingdom, what does the image that he chooses to use out of John chapter 10? This is so, so good. He chooses the shepherd. It has really not, he doesn't have anything to do with sheep. That's often the image the church has latched onto and said, well, it's somebody making this analogy with a shepherd and sheep and da-da-da. And yeah, there's some truth to that. But Jesus is saying, look, when I say I'm a good shepherd, you already know what I'm talking about. Because you've looked and understood good rulers and good kingdoms as a good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd that will lay down my life for the good of my sheep. Why? Because I know that for them, that show of mercy, that's what's in their best interest. That's what will make our people, my creation, the best that it can be for the good of all people. And so I want you to treat other people that way then. I want you. So the people that come to you and take advantage of you, I want you to treat them with mercy. The people that speak evil of you or gossip behind your back, I want you to treat them with mercy. I want you to have mercy on them when you talk about them to other people. I know how it goes. You're like, you go home, and it's like so-and-so did this, you know, having to work or whatever in the family, and you go home, and it's that safe space, and so what's that temptation? I'm going to throw them under the bus right here. We laugh because we know, right? I mean, truth is often the funniest thing. And Jesus says, It really is for everybody else's good if you'll just be merciful with other people. If you'll promote their well-being, it'll be for their good and it'll be for your good. If you'll sacrifice so that others can be built up, it'll be for their good, but it'll also be for your good. If you'll try to exchange peace when someone tries to give you discord, it'll be much better. He taught his followers the culture of his father's kingdom. He says, you see, what's good and right is that you be humble. What's good and right is that you would serve the least of these. What's good is that if you want a new life that's full of hope and peace and joy the world can't give you, then instead of trying to create that for yourself, you need to allow me to give that to you. So if you'll just surrender your life over to me, I got that. I can give you all of that. It's not a problem. I just need you to trust that I can give you that. And I just need you to hand your life over to me and trust me. Surrender to me and I got your back. It's okay. All right. So Paul says, now to the king, right? Now to the king. So he's got all this in his back pocket that he's bringing on to the page. And he's saying, Timothy, man, now to the King, glory forever and ever, this eternal, immortal, invisible God. This is who he is. This is who we worship. This is who has saved me in the darkness of my past. This is one who met me there on that road to Damascus. This is the one who saw me and saw how messed up my life was, saw that I was preaching against Jesus being the King, and still chose to forgive me and invite me to be this great messenger out in the world to proclaim this message. Of all people, he let me do that after how much I was a jerk to him and what he was trying to accomplish in the world. It just melted Paul's heart. He's like, I get a chance to do something that I don't deserve the opportunity to do. Man, what a great God. Paul is, he's writing this, and he sees Jesus as this kind of king, and he's getting it, and he knows that people are going to understand this. It's loaded with so much meaning, right? It doesn't just leap off the page to us, but to them it did. It was rich. It meant so much. They would get that so clearly. But you see, to Paul, he was just more than just like this royal king, and he was more than just this, you know, merciful shepherd, because he was God in the flesh. That's what makes this right here, communion, that's what makes this so beautiful and so powerful, that we get to share in the life of God in the flesh. And Paul said, that's our king. That's our king. And we worship him. God the Father had appointed Jesus the Son, God the Son, to come to earth and conquer sin and death, the enemies of God's kingdom. And he did it so that everyone who believed in him would not perish, but have the invitation for eternal life in his kingdom, to know hope and joy and peace with God, not only today, but forever. What does it say on the wall behind me? Worship the King. Worship the King. We believe Jesus is our King, and he is worthy of our worship. We believe this in our Christian faith. People that don't understand the Christian faith, we can say worship the King, and they're likely to say, what in the world are you talking about? Like, what does that even mean to you? Like, Jesus is your King. We live in democracy. Do you not get that? Like, this is not a monarch here in our country. And you're going like, yeah. So what that we would say Jesus is our King? What does it really matter? I want to try to answer that question. And what I am finding is that it matters a lot, because when Jesus is my King, I am saying that I believe that I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. Like, I could pull out my wallet and show you my driver's license. I have a driver's license that says that I'm a legal citizen of the state of Indiana. Fantastic. I am in this world, but I have a spiritual ID card that says that I am a child of the King and I am of his kingdom. So I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world, right? And I'm called to live that life. Be in the world, but not of the world. I believe that's who I am. And when I believe that that's who I am, that that is my identity in Jesus, it changes the way that I view living in this world. At least it should hopefully change the way that I view living in this world. I think it changes everything. Because what I'm saying is that Jesus is God's presence to me. The king was God's representative, in a sense, sort of God's presence there amongst the people of the kingdom. Now, God dwelt in the temple, but this representative was this person there representing God amongst the people, right? Well, Jesus is not just God's representative. I mean, he is the presence of God to me. So when I say he's my king, I'm saying that I know God, and I know God's presence in me. And I'm saying that Jesus has conquered my enemy of sin and death. I know that because he has done that, he sits on the throne, that he's given me life. He's given me this deep hope and this deep peace within me that the world just can't offer me. It doesn't give that to me. And if he's my king, why does he give that to me? Because he's a shepherd who promotes my well-being, because he's always looking to give me what's for my good. God spoils us. God spoils us. And there's times I know when we feel like, God, you need to do a little more spoiling because I'm feeling like I'm a little left out, you know. It's like, I could use a little more, God, you know, anytime now. But yet the truth is what? He's a good shepherd king who never leaves his flock. He doesn't leave his people. His kingdom is never in any danger at any moment. He reigns victorious on his throne. We don't have to worry about anything overcoming that. It's fine. It's secure. It's good. He's got it. He is God and he's reigning on the throne. That's my king. Doesn't that change the way you see everything? Can you see how that can change the way you see life in the world when you realize that Jesus Christ reigns on the throne and there is nothing at any moment, at any time, that will ever endanger his kingdom or his right to reign on that throne and be Lord of heaven and earth and Lord over your life? Woo! That's good stuff right there. That'll preach. Somebody needs to preach that. It is in Christ that I have peace with God. He has brought peace into my life. But I need to entrust him with everything that I have. Because here's the thing, the king assumes that because you're in his kingdom, that you have given everything over to him to be king over your life, everything about you. We are the ones that have to choose to hand it all over to him and just entrust it into him. And it's like, okay, Lord, Jesus, you be king over this too. When I go to work Monday morning and I'm exhausted, and the last thing I want to do is, and you can fill in the blank, right, whatever you have to do in the morning, Jesus, you be Lord over this Monday morning. When I have that first coworker that comes griping and moaning about something to me, right, and they do it every week, so it's kind of like you know it's coming, you're going, oh, Jesus, help me, please, right now, because I know where this is going. Just say, Jesus, you're going to be Lord over this right now because you're king of this moment anyways, so I'm just going to entrust it to you. God, give me peace in the name of Jesus. Hey, how are you doing this morning? It's so good to see you. Good morning. How are you? How was your weekend? Oh, let me tell you how my weekend was. Oh, yeah, great, I'm listening. Why? Because Jesus, king over this moment. There's nothing you can say, there's nothing you can tell me, there's nothing you can do in this moment, say bad or good about God or life or whatever, that will change anything about the reality that Jesus is king and reigning on the throne. So just come on and bring it. He can handle this. Because he's God. That's my king. Do you know him as your king? As this king that can handle whatever gets put upon you. Now let me really step on some toes. You ready for this one? Do you know him as your king that deserves first place in your life and you're not putting anything in front of him? Do you know him as your king who gets first place and first right over everything? You see where I'm going with this? You guys like to use social media? That's like asking a fish if it likes to swim in water, right? Okay, I figured that. When social media becomes more important than God, becomes more important, getting to know other people and what's going on in their lives more important than getting to know God and what's going on with him in your life. You've begun to put something above God. He's no longer truly your king because you haven't given this over to him. Now, I know I'm making this real black and white, right? And that's kind of on purpose. But if we say we worship the king, I'm not doing it. It's going to be another Star Wars moment. But if we say we worship the king, that is a very loaded statement for us that is full of rich meaning out of the scriptures. And it's saying, I want him to be first place because that's where he deserves to be. Because he's God. And I'm going to choose to believe that because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and because he's been given all authority, and because he's gone to the cross, and he's gone to the grave, and he's come risen up out of the grave, that he can break the barriers in my life. And so therefore, there's no reason that I shouldn't just entrust everything into his hands and just let him be king over it all. Let him break the barriers. He is greater than any other gods created by man. And he wants what is for our good. He's looking after your best interests. And I know that I can tell us this, and I could say it 20 times right in a row, but there's this response of faith that says, you look, okay, I'm going to try to believe that he really does want what's for my best. I'm going to make this conscious choice each day that he wants what is for my best. And if I don't get the promotion I wanted, it's okay. He's still Lord of the kingdom and king of my life. If I don't get the job, if I don't make the cut on a team or something, right? Or if my family member doesn't turn around and start acting right, or my kid, you know, doesn't stop acting like a goofball, or my grandkids or whatever, or my spouse is, you know, not maybe treating me the way that I wish they would be treating me, right? And we probably have had all those seasons of life that we still would just sort of sit in that moment at the throne of the king and bow before him as that royal, mighty king and say, as a king who is merciful and looks out for my good and is always working for my good because he loves me, through my faith, I'm asking God, would you just be king over this? Let your reign come all around this. And just let me be able to breathe and rest. May I have some relief, right? See, there's rest in his kingdom. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He is a God of peace. So all of this leading up to this moment, I'm putting a lot of stock in this one statement here. So please listen carefully. When we say that Jesus is our King, and we have on the wall worship the King, and we sing the songs, and we share in communion, and we testify to how mighty he is, I believe here's what we're saying. We are saying, We are worshiping Christ the King as members of his eternal kingdom, as he leads us with love and peace and righteousness, with humility, compassion, merciful forgiveness, yes, truth, justice, and hope through our salvation. We're saying he's a good king who rules over us with love and is worthy of all glory and honor forever and ever. This is what we're saying, because we know that this is what it is when Paul says, now to the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And I ask us, I wonder, do you know him? I wonder, do you know him as your king? Is he just sort of a prince in your life, if you will, that has some influence, but is not the top dog? Or is he truly top dog? Is he truly the king? And you're working it every day trying to just allow him to be in that position of authority, in that place of influence, in that place of mercy over your life and in your life from when you get up and when you go to bed. And by the way, I'd let him be king when you sleep too. I figure you can't go wrong. I wonder, do you know him as your king? I would say today, if you've never really thought of accepting Jesus in that role in your life before, would you make that choice today and let us know? Because we would love to just walk with you as you explore learning that and living that life. And we want to do that, and we're hoping that you'll do that with us as well. We believe that God gives you peace. He gives you hope. He gives a joy into your life that you cannot get from anywhere else. And I think a lot of us know this because we've been borderline workaholics. We've ate, drank, done whatever. Get thrown ourselves into hobbies or things to make us look better to other people. All in this sense of just hoping that there'll be a better life on the other side of those things, that life will be better. And I think I can ask the question, if that's where you've been, how's that going for you? It's like trying to grab the wind. You just can't, you never get there. You think you got it, and it's just elusive, and and you've got to grab again. But if you'll grab a hold of Christ, the King, and don't let go. He's not elusive. He's there. He's got you. But you're going to have to trust him. And just let him be king over all of it and see what happens. I find that this way of thinking of Jesus King is a great way today. If you look on the screen here above that crown, I put that in there, hashtag selfless. Pretty good, huh? Yeah. When you sit in that office all week, you know, you come up with some doozies. When you think of Christ as King, Jesus as our King, and you think of living in that kingdom, you think, what's it like for me to live as Jesus my King? One of the clearest and best ways to think of life is simply to live selfless. Because that's the culture of our King and his kingdom. Willing to lay down to sacrifice, to give up, to make others better, pour into others, disciple others, help them experience the best that God has for them in their life, come alongside and to pray for others, even though that you're tired and worn out, you know, to give to others who are in need, even though you may not have a whole lot, but to live a life of selflessness. Because that's the life that Jesus has taught us. And Jesus is the subject. And he is the King. And it is through Jesus and that kind of life that we live that inevitably tells our community this one simple sermon God loves you. God loves you. And that's the culture of his kingdom. It's love. This who we are, and this is the journey that we're trying to go down, is to share this message and help people get to know this Jesus that we love, that is our King, and so much more. And so over the next couple few weeks, we're going to be digging into this a little bit and just getting to know Jesus a little bit, right? And have some fun with that. It'll be good, all right? So would you do me a favor? Would you stand this morning? I want us to just end this message part here with where we started. Let's go right back to 1 Timothy 1:17 and just use this as our praise of our faith this morning. You ready? Let's do it here on the screen. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.